Thank you very much. Call the meeting to order at 10:30 and get Kelly to do the roll call.
Director Villaseñor?
Yeah.
Director Acuña?
Yeah.
Director Sobel?
Here.
Director Newman?
Here.
Chair Hernandez is absent today. Vice Chair Judge?
Here.
Director Quady? Director Rodriguez?
Here.
Director Lopez or Campos?
Here.
Director Lavier?
Here.
Director Perez?
Here.
And VRSC has not assigned their person yet, so they're not represented.
Thank you very much. Bernardo, would you mind leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
And over heart and say with me, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Now, oath of office for a UMBC REA board member.
Yes, we are in Director Campos sworn in. We're working on getting the
or here
to do that.
Okay.
We'll have to circle back to that one.
All right. Sounds good. Approval of the minutes from May 18th, 2023 BC REA board meeting. Very good. Motion. Second. Okay. Second. What do we do? Hand vote, voice vote?
Just all in favor.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.
Abstaining as I was.
Okay.
Okay.
Two abstentions. Agenda review. Everybody had a chance to look over their agenda? Anybody want to change anything on the agenda or add to it? All right, great. Move on to public comments.
Don't have any public comments.
Okay. Do I need to read this for the Brown Act stuff? Or
no.
We're good? Board of Director comments. This time, members of the BCREA Board of Directors may comment on any matters pertaining to BCREA. Does anybody have any comments to make? All right, this is going pretty good. Approval of the financial statements, year-end June 30th, 2023.
So those were included in your packet. Every year, you guys approve the financial statements that it was audited by David Farr in accounting. There were no material findings. So if you have questions, Regina Williams is on Zoom and she can answer any questions you have that aren't specific to the audit.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're on to
we just need to
we need to do a vote. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can I get a motion to approve the financial statements?
So moved.
I'll second.
Second. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Approval of the 2024 and 2025 meeting schedule.
Yes, so you also received that in your packet, the meeting, our proposed meeting schedule for the next year. One item that we wanted to bring up as last year, we hosted two aggregate champion meetings. And kind of in lieu of board meetings, there were still official items that we needed to discuss. So we held energy champion meetings, and some of you attended those. It's staff, kind of networking, ideas sharing. So we were proposing that maybe we continue to share those and open again to all the board members in case you don't have any official items to approve to our meetings. Then we host those. Obviously, if it's something we have to approve, we kind of hold these meetings again. Kind of working those energy at campaign meetings into the board meeting schedule, thinking if that was something that we were all willing to participate in. I think we've received positive feedback from those, that it's kind of great network time, best practice sharing, kind of hearing what's going on in the rest of the county. So we wanted to kind of wrap this in into here. So then you'll have the opportunity to take all this back to your cities and kind of share the opportunities of what are the others doing that we can also be doing. So wanted to kind of show that
because
that's an option.
Great, thank you.
A question on the news. I know for these are usually 10:30 and a few of the energy champion meetings, have they been a little bit later over lunchtime?
Yes.
Okay.
So will we, do we as a board want to continue to make those 10:30 meetings, or depending if we have the energy champion that may push back a little bit?
Yeah, we were thinking in lieu of kind of like having the energy champion meetings take over lunch, because we usually like to bring lunch. So kind of keeping those same time of the energy champion, having them meet over lunch networking time, and then we need to host the board meeting then during that time.
Okay.
And that, or I guess suggesting.
So potentially you could have a board meeting followed by an energy champion.
Yeah, we will try not to keep you on for too long if we have to do official business and it's just the board meeting, no energy champion meeting. But when there is no official board items that we have to do, then we move it to an energy champion meeting.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next one on the schedule.
Yeah. Energy champions?
Yeah.
Not yet.
But at what time of the year would you say?
So our suggestion is maybe like, let's say in May 16th, there is no official items we have to put on, then that would be the date of the Energy Champion meeting, and it would be over lunch.
The same dates, just the time changes.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'll move to approve the schedule.
Second.
Motion and second. Thank you. All in favor of the meeting schedule, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Sure.
Our approval of the general and administrative budget fiscal year 24-25.
We also provided that in your packet. It's a snapshot of our budget. As you can see, most of it's grant related. We are extending one of our grants for a longer period, that was approved by the Energy Commission. So just kind of reflecting the money is going to be available longer, which we appreciate from the Energy Commission, and just our labor rates. As we know, it's a delivery that we're approved by the counties for county staff and then using the OC. It's in place.
Vote to approve.
Second.
And a second. All in favor of approval of general administrative budget fiscal year 24-25, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On number 12, 3C Brandon programs overview.
I'm going to introduce Erica. She's going to be doing our presentation to the three-student programs. I believe last time you received a little bit of an insight into our three-student programs. Now we have new programs, which she's going to tell you a little bit about us.
All right. You guys are an efficient group, so I won't slow you down. But I know you're somewhat familiar with 3CRN already. We have some new programs launching, so mainly we just want to make sure that you're aware of what the new programs are, give you a chance to ask any questions, but also do a refresh of our current programs, just in case we have any new board members. It might have been a while since we last spoke to you about 3CRN. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'll do intro to 3CRN, overview of our current programs, new programs, and then leave you some time for questions. So 3CRN, our vision is to create a sustainable, equitable, and economically vibrant Central Coast for all. So this initiative, it covers San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara County, and Ventura County. And our mission is to support our local climate goals through energy saving programs, empower a sustainable local economy, and reduce social disparities. So that last part about social disparities, we have higher, we prioritize what the state defines as hard to reach customers. So we can explain that a little bit more, but just explaining what we mean by calling out social disparity. All of our programs are focused on energy efficiency. And what I'll get into a little bit more is we're expanding a little bit beyond that and talking about things like solar and batteries. We now have a little carve out of funding to address those. So as I mentioned, three counties working together on energy efficiency in our region. Our first programs launched in 2019. And when we first launched, we had two core audiences. So building professionals, meaning architects, engineers, contractors, all the different trades, electricians, plumbers, real estate professionals, basically anyone who touches a building, because we know that buildings are responsible for a lot of our emissions. And then the second audience that our program serves is households. So, you know, people using energy in their homes. With our new business plan that was just approved, the new programs will cover 2024 through an 8-year cycle. We now have 3 additional audiences, so agricultural customers, commercial businesses, and then public sector buildings. This is a snapshot from what we submit to the state. It's a lot more detailed than you need, but it'll be in your packet if you want to look through it. Basically, at the bottom here, we have 7 programs, 4 existing programs, 3 new ones, and then the 8-year budget is $155 million. So that will be over 8 years and for all 3 counties. But this is all funding that comes from the California Public Utilities Commission. And what we're really proud of is that we're bringing this money into the Tri-County region. Previously, this type of funding, you know, would be accessible to the utilities, and those programs are available to us in the Tri-County as well. But this allows us to bring additional support to our region and create custom programs based on what we feel we need in this community.
What do you mean by cross-cutting when you're the
That's
market sector?
The state terminology that they use, but essentially what it's saying is, so that building performance training, it's our workforce development program. Cross-cutting means that we can train people who work in real estate and agriculture, all these different sectors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. So the current program, these are the programs we've been operating since roughly 2019, 2020. Energy Code Connect, Building Performance Training, and then Home Energy Savings. This is kind of 2 programs. There's one for single family homes and there's one for multifamily properties. So that's why we say we have 4 programs, but it's under kind of 1 brand. The Energy Code Connect program. So you know that the Energy Code, every 3 years, the Energy Code changes and it's pushing buildings to become more and more efficient. But it also makes it pretty complicated. If you're a contractor, if you're an architect, you have to learn these new rules every 3 years. There's just a lot of complexity to it. So this program is basically a support for architects, engineers, contractors, if they have any questions about the energy code, this is their program. So we do, we have an energy code coach. It's basically like a hotline. You can just call them up and say, I'm replacing my water heater. Do I need a permit? Or, you know, whatever your question may be. We do trainings. These are open to anyone, but they're really targeted towards like building department staff. So like plans, examiners, inspectors, the ones who have to enforce the energy code. We do regional forums. So these are events that we hold a few times a year where we get everyone together and talk about policy issues. So for example, like this concept of electrification, we know that for some people that makes a lot of sense. It's a smart climate policy. For other people, it sounds really foreign. So it's just, let's get together and talk about these kind of energy issues that affect all of us. And then we have a Reach Code program as well. A lot of jurisdictions. I know the county passed our own REACH code. A lot of different jurisdictions throughout the Tri-County are thinking about these REACH codes. So that's support to pass a REACH code. Yeah, then you get REACH code. REACH code. So it's going above, if you're submitting to do a new construction project, you have to comply with the energy code. But the REACH codes, if your jurisdiction passes one, you're saying, I want to exceed that baseline. I want to be even more efficient. Or in many cases now, it is, these are all electric REACH codes saying, yeah. This is just a case study through our Energy Code Connect program. It's too much text here. I'll just explain briefly. County of Ventura said, we're getting all these ADUs. A lot of people are building these accessory dwelling units on their properties. To streamline the permitting process, it'd be great if we just had like a standard set of plans. So that if a builder comes in and says, I want to build this guest house on my property, how do I comply with energy code? There are some set plans. You just comply with everything in our plans and you will get approved. So our code coach worked with the county and developed these set plans. And we'll need to, that's what's for the 2019 code cycle. We're going to update it for 2022, but that's an example of the type of thing this program can offer. Building performance training. This is, as I mentioned, a workforce development program. So our goal is to help workers thrive as the industry changes. But again, going back to this idea of like chasing gas out of buildings, if you're a contractor and the way you've always built is with gas, this might feel pretty foreign. So we do a lot of training around how do buildings work, like basic building science. it's not solely focused on electrification. It also is just about like good energy efficiency principles, making sure that you do air sealing, insulation, use efficient equipment. Those are some examples, envelope, air sealing, heat pumps, the types of topics that we cover. We do a lot of continuing education units. So if you are an architect looking for your AIA units, you can come to us. Another case study. So we work with a lot of existing professionals in this program, like an established architecture firm looking to get their AIA units. But we also want to help people who are coming into this industry. So we've been focusing more and more on young people. And this case study is a collaboration with the Centers for Employment Training. We have one here in Oxnard, then there's one in Santa Maria. They have a program called the Green Building Construction Skills Program. And what we did is partner with them to bring in Brucey Wren instructors to broaden their knowledge that they're gaining through this program. So this is Javier, who's probably come and presented to this group at some point. He's doing a blower door test demonstration with the students from the Centers for Employment Training. We've done 11 different events with them over the last 2 years. We talk about green careers, if this is something that the students are interested in. What is a green building? What is home performance? And then give them some hands-on skills demonstration. Our home energy savings program. This is the program that's targeted towards residents. So either single family homes or multifamily homes. The goal is to lower energy bills and improve the homes while reducing greenhouse gas emissions. We do target homes that are historically underserved. So the state definition, it's based on geography. So like in our region, we are located far away from the urban centers that tend to have a little easier access to resources, but also non-English speakers, low-income households, those are the residents that we target, and there are higher incentives for people who meet those criteria, but the programs are open to anyone on the central, in our three counties. All right, I won't get into too much detail here. This is for one of our multifamily apartment buildings. So a 10-unit apartment building in Santa Barbara received 3C-RIN incentives for energy upgrades. They did a central heat pump water heater, so that's an electric water heater. Some other, you know, kind of technical stuff, but bottom line, they received over $41,000 in incentives. They had energy cost savings over $2,600 a year, and then we had GHG reductions. This is a case study on the single family program. So there was a resident in Lompoc. He stacked different incentives. So there's 3C-RIN incentives, but then there's all these other programs that are coming online, especially with the Inflation Reduction Act, the tax credits that you can get. He stacked our incentives with other programs and got basically a free water heater. So this is a heat pump water heater. It's one of the all-electric, very efficient water heaters. They do have a higher upfront cost. That's why there are incentives for them. This was a hard-to-reach customer, and so all the incentives meant that there was nothing out-of-pocket for him and his family. All right, so those were our current programs, and then the new programs. I'll jump into those. The Agricultural Technical Assistance Program. Victor, I'll go through this, but Victor is the program manager. So if you have questions for him, he'll be your guy. Coming down to the bottom, it's comprehensive technical assistance and assessment. So basically, if you are, we're targeting cannabis growers, especially the indoor growers, because it's so energy intensive, and then smaller socially disadvantaged growers. But if you're a farmer, a cannabis producer, you're trying to figure out how do I rank my energy costs, this program will do assessments of your facility and figure out where there are opportunities for you to save energy and save money. This program It's all technical assistance, and then we'll try and funnel these customers into other incentive programs that might be offered by the utilities. We're only approved to do technical assistance, but connecting them with other programs will be a big focus of ours. We decided to add this program just because we know that agriculture is a part of our local economy here, so we figured we should serve them in addition to our other audiences.
That open to all growers, just
so the idea we are wanting to go into all growers, similarly to the other programs, is we'll be putting a focus on socially disadvantaged or hard to reach populations. But we're still designing it from scratch, but we're aiming to kind of do maybe something similar to home energy savings and maybe have an indoor program and an outdoor agricultural program. So
it's APCD as a program similar to this, which is really successful.
Yes,
replacing outdated equipment.
That's right. Their Carl Moyer program.
Yeah.
So, and that would be an example of one of the incentive programs that we'll want to tie into this. Is like Erica mentioned, we're only approved to do technical assistance, but that would be something where we would then point them to APC for their incentives program.
What's the current potential demand for serving cannabis growers?
That, I think we're still
a handful who are doing this indoor. So we're working with James Importante in the county executive office. They oversee the permits that come in. So did you give us a number?
It was just a few.
Like two or three.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's inventory count. So there's still potential in Santa Barbara and some of those bespoke counties. And then again, while cannabis may be the focus, we also do want to tap into the potential for other indoor agriculture facilities.
We need to work on our graphics for our new programs. They're very new, so this will be a little more visually engaging next time you hear from me. The commercial marketplace program is basically an incentive program for commercial businesses. So previously, with our other programs, we only offered incentives for residents, for single family homes, multi-family homes. Now we can offer incentives for commercial businesses. Again, the focus is small, hard to reach. There are some state definitions for this. So it's like businesses with 10 or fewer employees. There's also some requirements around the energy usage that they have. This program will also provide some technical assistance, and we'll be partnering with the Green Business Network. Probably heard from them in the past too. So there are businesses that can get certified as a green business. They'll be referred to us to see if they want to do more energy work on their facility. And then the last program is our Energy Assurance Services Program. This was something that was started in Santa Barbara County. It's basically, the goal behind this program is to create more facilities that are resilient. But to do that, we want to first make sure that they're efficient with their energy and then back up that energy so that it's available during times of emergency. So it's, again, a technical assistance program. There's the budget for this one isn't huge, but the idea is to like really go deep with a few properties to figure out how can we make them kind of like a resilience hub. So these are really extensive audits. We're partnered with AirUp, the large firm with engineers on staff that will do audits of these facilities. So for example, like a library, a community center, they would do an audit of the facility and figure out where can they save energy and then where can they build in resilience.
So we did a pilot project with the Pruger Library in Port of Wainini, which is a county library, but this facility is owned, I believe, by the city of Port. And it was a really interesting audit that looked at adding solar and battery storage stuff. And so now they have information they need to look for grant funding to help implement those energy upgrades.
Okay, so these resources are for our current programs. We have a very active events calendar. If you know any building professionals, contractors, there's usually about two events every week. Energy Code Coach, that's that hotline that I mentioned, and then our Home Energy Savings Program. If anyone You know, even in your own lives, if you're replacing a water heater, upgrading your furnace, getting air conditioning, check out our program to see if you qualify for some incentives. Any questions?
What questions? On those, like the ones that are based in homes, again, kind of targeting these again communities, are you, I think I asked this question before, working pretty closely with nonprofits or those that already have the time, maybe they're helping families and with bill assistance or going to home for other reasons, and kind of work with them, uniting.
We have worked with a few nonprofits, and then we're always seeking more of those types of partnerships. So if you're connected with any that we should be working with, about those introductions. But the Promotores Network, that's been one partnership that we've piloted in Santa Barbara County, just going out and doing education first, and then people need to make upgrades on their home when they're aware of our program. And then we're hoping to expand that in Ventura County as well. But I don't think that's formalized yet. I'm looking to Alejandro because we had a meeting about it recently.
Will you be working with Community Action Ventura County?
So they can enroll as a contractor in our program. I know we've had discussions with them, and I don't know for certain if they have enrolled. But yeah, since they're doing these types of home upgrades, then basically, they can enroll in our program and then pass along all those incentives to their customers.
Just got a couple of questions. On the new one for ag, have you reached out to pumper associations? I sat on the water, was the groundwater sustainability agency. So there's like the Fillmore Pumpers Association, the Pioneer Pumpers. It's basically a monthly meeting of the, you know, of the local landowners. They're all over the county, right? I'm sure there's pumper associations. Different areas, that would be a great contact to go and to present, you know, about this new agricultural part.
Yeah, no, that's great to know. We're definitely still in that phase where we're reaching out to the various different stakeholders in the three counties. So the more we learn, it's going to be more beneficial for our program. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and a lot of them are just small farms, small ranches.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of money coming in for the commercial expansion. Can you kind of give an example of what a local business should be doing to start tapping into the resources and potential incentives?
I think starting with the Green Business Network is a first start. So they can kind of do a review of business, what are their opportunities to go more green? And then part of that assessment will be, how can you save energy at your building? And then what we would like to do with this new program is provide funding to do audits. So let's say this business is saying, like, my energy bills are a big part of my monthly expenses. We can do an audit to figure out if they can save energy. So it depends on the type of business that they are, and then they can apply for incentives. And also, I think it's good for all of our businesses to be aware of these programs, because it's not always that they're just being like so proactive. Like, I want to become a green business, and how do I do that? Oftentimes it's just they're operating the business and the air conditioner breaks, or whatever kind of equipment just breaks and they suddenly need to replace it. So it's good for them to be aware of these programs, because they might be able to really reduce the cost of those upgrades through our incentives. Does that answer your
question? Yeah, it does. I'm just trying to, it's a really important extension of what we're doing here. I just, you know, obviously it's brand new, so how do we get the word out about businesses? So a lot of the cities have their own green business programs. We have this one, and it'd be great to really start getting the word out since it's brand new.
So the programs will most likely be launched like the second half of the year, but once they are launched, then groups like this, if you are interested in helping us, you know, promote, like, marketing outreach is really our biggest need, just making sure that businesses do, that they are aware of opportunities.
Are you working through the chambers? All of those different.
We're still like developing all the relationships, but those are a target stakeholder.
You can get like $30 million. That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
it's great.
The whole 3C REN portfolio, it's really a lot of funding coming into the community, but we just need to make sure that people are aware.
Yeah.
Some of our programs previously have been underspent, but they're starting to really pick up pace.
And the same question for the public sector. We all represent cities or counties or special districts. How do we get those entities involved? Same thing, just outreach.
Okay, Alejandro, sorry.
For the public sector, so it's that what we're trying to do is kind of target like those energy tapping meetings that we host. kind of talk to the facilities, talk to the cities, and kind of target City of Fillmore. Like, hey, we're looking like this, you know, this facility, you're thinking about this, let's target kind of map the program out. So that's kind of where we're trying to figure out. We do that to like this meetings, BCREA, Energy Champions, and we're doing that in each county. So definitely, yes, staff, just send them our way, kind of trying to, because I think energy assurance can get a little technical. So it all depends on it's like, do you really want to do this audit? Do you really want to invest the time? And then kind of we want to screen out the facilities we're just looking to like an audit instead of those that kind of want to do the actual funding and projects. But send staff our way.
So when you say public sector, I'm from the community college district, uh-huh, and also the K-12 system. Is that included in,
yes,
the public sector? Just,
yes,
want to make,
yeah,
sure. Okay.
I think it'll be about being on commercial rates, the property itself, to get the incentives.
Yeah, it depends. But yeah, public sector, the definition for utilities commissioner, yeah, it's any K-12, community colleges, schools, local governments, special districts, yeah, everyone.
Yeah, so can you facilitate a public-private partnership in this circumstance? For example, we have a multifamily building upstairs, and the ground floor is the county library, the Avenue Library. And the library would probably welcome an audit, but then it's completely private upstairs. Can that building be facilitated in your program?
We need to look into, I don't want to say yes, but we need to look into the specifics, but I would think so, because between all of our different programs, we have all these different types of support that we offer. And for the multifamily program, we have worked with a lot of properties that are owned by like nonprofits, but we've also worked with private facilities.
This is a private owner.
Yeah. So I think there's enough flexibility in our program, but all the referrals are great. So if you want to connect us with that specific facility, we'd love to talk with them. And we also, I mean, this is broadening a bit, but Heather is working on all these electric vehicle initiatives, and we did get funding for a few different EV related projects, programs that will support multifamily buildings. So there's one that's kind of trying to pilot like a ride share. That's a Department of Energy grant that we got, but then the Department of Transportation funding that you got will, they're funding for EV chargers at multifamily properties.
So there's two grants. One is the REACH grant, which is, see, I'm on thunder. And that's for putting charging infrastructure at multifamily housing. And we're working with 3C Ren. And we have funding also for outreach. We have our EV coach.
Are you going to get into all this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, yes, we love and welcome. Most of the information we get from when we apply for these grants is crowdsourced. So if you have sites or ideas, not just for EV charging infrastructure, but for like resiliency efforts, we're also looking at grants for climate adaptation. So we would welcome any information or ideas or locations for battery, solar, charging station infrastructure, anything, just throw it at us and we'll see if we can find a good fit and a grant application. And we've been pretty successful with our grants. I think every grant BCRA has led, we've gotten funded. So we're getting good at it. So yeah, share your ideas.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for the report. It was very comprehensive and informative.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to number 13, climate pollution reduction grant over. Okay.
Yes, well, we have Victor wearing a different hat from my another effort for kind of a thing shouldn't be reduction grant.
Hi everybody, I'm Victor Briones. We're here in sustainability coming up on a year now. This is just one of the projects that I've been working on since I've been here. As was mentioned, this is a program that we got funding for from EPA's Climate Pollution Reduction Grants Program. This project itself is being called Ventura County Regional Effort for Climate Action Planning. And I did not throw the acronym up there, but we're calling it BC RECAP. So just to give a quick little overview on what CERG is, as I mentioned, it's an EPA grant. It's a dual phase program. The first phase being a planning phase, and that's the funding that we received for $1 million for planning grant. And then the second phase is going to be for implementation, implementing the measures that will be included in the first deliverable of the planning grant. And so that planning grant, we received it for the county being the lead to creating a regional climate action plan for the Ventura, Oxnard, Thousand Oaks MSA or Metropolitan Statistical Area. The first deliverable of that grant is creating a priority climate action plan, which is due on March 1st. So we're coming up on that deadline. Following that, then we'll get into the implementation grant. And that is actually, the applications are open already, but that will be due on April 1st. So not too long after that PCAP is due. And that implementation grant is going to be applying for funds to implement those programs or measures that we included in that priority climate action plan or that PCAP. Following that, the second deliverable of the planning grant is creating a comprehensive climate action plan. So just an extension or expansion of what the PCAP was. So we can move on to the next slide.
What's the difference between the regional CAP and the PCAP?
So it's all going to be one climate action plan, just kind of divided into two parts. The PCAP, this is just the way that EPA set up for the funding to kind of happen or to get funding. So they're trying to disperse all the funds fairly quickly. So that's why they separated out a priority climate action plan, really trying to go in those measures that are implementation ready or shovel ready. So that way we can get those funds and start working on those projects immediately. So it essentially will be part of the same plan, just kind of separated out into two phases.
Yeah, sorry. No, I was just going to ask if you could give us some examples of the types of priority actions you're...
Yeah, I'll actually have a slide for that later on. Yeah.
My question, I'm sorry, it was just geography. When you said it was regional, Oxnard, Ventura, Thousand.
So it'll be, that's the MSA, but we're using the funds to cover the entire county.
Oh, that's great.
So going into that a little bit more, the work that we've been doing for the PCAP, we've had different work that we've been getting involvement from the cities and other partners. So we have created a CERG advisory group, which we as a county are leading, but that includes most of our cities. So that'll be, where am I here? Okay, Fillmore, Moore Park, Oxnard, Fort Wainini, Santa Paula, Simi Valley, Thousand Oaks, and Ventura. As well as we have also included the Ventura County Air Pollution Control District, Ventura County Transportation Commission, and then we do have a CDO partner, the Central Coast Climate Justice Network. So we've been meeting with them on a monthly basis as soon as we received the award announcement from EPA, which was back in August. So we've been having those regular meetings and kind of getting input from all the cities to make sure we're covering all our bases and getting everybody's input there. So following that, we did contract with some consultants to do the work of the PCAP, putting it all together for us. And that consultant is Rincon Consultants, and they also have a sub contractor with Ramey Associates, who is conducting one of the elements of the PCAP, which is a low income and disadvantaged community benefits analysis. And that's just going into whatever measures we include in the PCAP. They'll also outline what other benefits will be realized aside from GHG reductions. We also recently put out a community survey, so getting input from the community, and it's available both in English and Spanish, and we've been getting a lot of engagement from the community on that. We do have a website dedicated, or a webpage on our website dedicated to the BC Recap project. So that's where that survey is housed. And then, of course, we've just been continuing with other collaborations. EPA has been emphasizing the want for collaboration. So the state also accepted funds to create a PCAP, and CARB is leading that effort. So they've been holding meetings as well with the other MSAs in California that have received funding. Yes.
Yeah, I can understand the roster of advisory group members, but I don't see K-12 or higher education or community colleges. Is that...
So we've been keeping it with the cities, but we have been getting that input. Like at the Energy Champions meeting, we have been this information there as well. So we have gotten some input there as well. But as we continue on with this process, we want to make sure that we're getting that input and including project staff within you know, the different areas of the community.
In the packet, we have a link to a community survey. It's in English and Spanish. It is looking for implementation measures to include in our climate action plan. So it's on the first page. It's the survey is available on the CPRG webpage. And then there's a newsletter.
Yes, and then we we'll send out the presentation after as well, and that'll have the hyperlink to the survey. And anything that may not have been included in the PCAP will transfer over to the CCAP. So while maybe it may not have been included in the PCAP, there's still that opportunity to send that reach into the CCAP. We also got collaboration efforts with the Southern California Association of Governments. The LA and OC MSA received a planning grant as well. And so SCAG, trying to facilitate some more regional collaboration, has been held holding meetings with Riverside, I believe was the other one that received a planning grant. So kind of bringing us all in to see if there's opportunity to have some collaboration there. So with the CPRG advisory group, we came up with these three priority sectors that we'll be pursuing in the PCAP. So we won't be covering all the sectors that are included like in the county's climate action plan that was included in the general plan, but these were the areas that were the highest polluting. So we figured these are the best ones to target in this PCAP. So transportation, building energy, and solid waste. Next one. So going back into what the measures will be included in the PCAP, with our consultants and with the advisory group, we put together the input that we got from that advisory group and from the survey and put together these measures based on what projects could be pursued that are shovel ready and that will hit the sectors here. So for building energy, we have supporting an equitable transition to 100% carbon free and renewable energy, working with CPA on that measure there. For the second measure related to building energy, we have developing a regional holistic building decarb program for Ventura County, and that's something that we'd be working with BCAPCD to do as well. For number three, we have expand the 3C RENS direct install and retrofit program, supporting electrification of affordable housing units. Following that, transportation, we have add new EV charging stations, prioritizing going to the disadvantaged communities and multifamily housing developments, as well as the largest workplaces in the county. Also promoting and expanding equitable, safe, efficient, and affordable multimodal transportation hubs. And final one for transportation is supporting the expansion of the Blue Whales Blue Skies program to decrease greenhouse gas emissions associated with vessel speed. So for those of you that aren't familiar with that program, that's actually one that's a partnership with Ventura County Air Pollution Control District. This is a program that they've already been conducting, and so they're just seeking more funds to keep that incentive program going. It's been a very successful program. So in an effort to support our partners in the advisory group, this is something that we threw in there. And as for solid waste, we'll be supporting the development of organic waste diversion programs and facilities.
So what does it mean when you say you're prioritizing working with the largest workplaces to create EV charging? Like, what does that actually look like in practice?
So that'll be like incorporating EV stations, and we're still, you know, workshopping what that could look like, but kind of similarly to wanting to put EV charging stations in multifamily homes or multifamily areas, in those areas that are employ the most individuals. So we can, those that do have EVs, we can get as many charging stations there and kind of make sure that we're supporting that transition to electric vehicles.
So we crowdsourced information originally with our EV blueprint for like the 100 largest workplaces in the county. But sometimes multifamily, we have a lot of renters or people that may not have, they might have a home or live in a house, but they don't have access to a garage and a plug, and they can't park their car in their driveway or something. And so a lot of times people can't charge at home. And so we would like to put charging stations in workplaces so people could charge while they're at work.
Right. And so does this program provide financial incentives to those workplaces to establish that, or is it, I guess I'm just trying to understand, what is support mean?
So we'd be seeking out those, kind of having a partnership with them and seeing if they would like to have those charging stations installed and select.
With funds.
This would go into that implementation grant part is once we have confirmed mm-hmm. those projects that can be there, then we'll seek out those funds. Yes.
Who pays for it, I guess.
Okay.
Yes. We move on to the next slide then. Well, and so what the next steps are from here is we'll be finalizing that PCAP, which we should be receiving that draft document here towards the end of this week. And we'll be going over that and presenting it to our advisory group, which we'll be meeting next week, and just finalizing any last feedback or comments on that document. Following that, one of the things that we do want to include in this Priority Climate Action Plan document is some statements of support. So that's something that we're looking to you all for, is if you're interested in making a statement or wanting us to have your statement included in the PCAP, feel free to let me know and I'll reach out with some language for approval.
Going back to their questions.
Yeah.
3C Rent's expanding into public sector. Would there be funds in there to support this?
There would be an opportunity for us to get more funds for 3C Rent to expand their program, but
So this PCAP and the measures that you see, this is what the group and the advisory group came up with. So then all this is going to go into our implementation grant application. I missed the little thing on the bottom. The limit is 2 million to 500 million.
Yeah, there's.
So we're in the middle of filling that application. We're going to ask for all this funding. So none of us have to pay for all this. Mm-hmm. So we can get it all from the EPA. So that's why we're looking for all the information, crowdsourcing the data. There's something else, the Unified School District. I want to be a employment hub. I want 20 charging stations. Give us that. So then we can include this in the application so we can get that funding. And then we're looking to like, how is this funding benefiting 3CRN? Let's connect it. What is 3CRN missing? And like, let's get the funding from the EPA so we can kind of make that budget bigger for filling the gaps that we're. That
so, when you talk about those statements of support, are you specifically looking for we would support this and here is how we could use this?
I think both. And then we're getting to like, and here's how we can use it. We're going to make it a measure and ask for the monies and then use the support to say we have the support of all these local electeds, all these entities. So yes, we're looking for both.
Question, and the advisory group you have that includes all the cities and hopefully be extended to include school districts, not as, are the folks who I think are the city staff folks, are they getting you those numbers? Are they saying, oh, in Fillmore, we'd like...
Yes, so that's when we have these meetings, that's what we're looking to our partners for.
Yeah.
And then this application too, I will say, so there's EPA's given a lot of flexibility for the number of applications that can be submitted to them. So there's the opportunity for us to apply as a lead in a coalition application, as well as submit our own individual application. And then if we wanted to jump in on anybody else's coalition application, we could do so. But our efforts here are going to be leading a coalition application. And so in those meetings, that's where we get those projects. And what we'll be involved in that is we'll get a statement of commitment from the city saying, these are our projects. We're committing to actually making sure these happen. And then there will, later on, there will also be an MOU that is required following the application. So just to confirm everybody's commitment to making sure these projects get put in place.
So following up on that, I realize the focus here is on regional, countywide grant program.
Yes.
But for those cities and districts that either have their own climate plan or are putting one in place, are there opportunities to mesh these things so there's not either duplication of effort or...
Yeah, so the way this is kind of lining out to be is EPA, so for those that maybe didn't have a climate action plan, this would give them the funding to create one, or if there are already existing or some in the works, kind of bring in those measures. And it may look like duplication, but to give those cities the opportunity to apply for funds as well, or get in on coalition application to get funds for those projects that are going to be or already included in their individual.
So conceivably, this could help districts stand up climate plans, even
yes.
if they're not one that exists today.
Yes.
Great. Thanks.
And then, of course, we'll be working on that. And we've been working on this implementation grant concurrently as we're doing the PCAB, just because those deadlines are right behind each other. So we've got a lot of work going, but once this March deadline is hit, then all our efforts are going towards that implementation grant. So, and we do also have another consultant that's helping us out with that grant implementation. Cool. Next slide. So that's all the information I have for you today. Again, to be honest, I am the program lead on this. Again, the link to our community survey is there on the slides. So I leave it to me that we got afterwards with the slides, and you'll be able to click on the hyperlink there to take you to the survey. And then also our webpage, just so you kind of have a little bit more background information on what we've been doing. And then our website is down there as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the chance. Thanks for the presentation. Any more questions? Great presentation. Thank you. Now we just received your 2003 year in review.
Yeah, so I was having issues with the printer, so figured out a draft. I need to work on the margins, but wanted to give you a sneak peek of our year review and all the work that's been done. So we'll clean this up a little bit at the margins and send it out to you on the packet and kind of share this, and I'm happy to give you more copies if you're willing to share this out or post it anywhere. That'll really help us kind of build that coalition cap that you mentioned to get more regional applications.
Can you send this electronically, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, really quick on the, I think this is the Green Business Program. 81 total certifications, but that was in the year, or do we have a running year to date? Is that number bigger?
That's a running year to date.
That's the running year to date.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
This year we certified 20 businesses.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Update.
Yes, Heather Allen, Program Administrator with UTRA. You have a program update in your packet. Again, the links are also for that climate pollution reduction grant survey and all sent to the newsletter are included in the update. Some electrified transportation updates for events. We're looking at Drive Electric Lake Day events. So far, we're coordinating with EV Advocates of Ventura County. They host really great EV shows. And so we're looking at the City of Thousand Oaks Arbor Earth Day. We're looking at, I guess Logan connected us with the Moretto, how you say it, Foundation. They're having the Ventura Earth Day at Plaza Park. And then City of Fillmore is having an Earth Day celebration. Details on that are to be determined. And we also are working with Ventura High School to look at hosting some events with their robotics club, as well as they have an auto mechanics course. And we might have a little small EV car show at their car show that they do on Poli 3. I think it's on April 28th. So we'll bring our electric vehicle there. We have a portable charging station so people can learn how to plug in charging stations. And then the robotics club will build EV McWheelies. That's our little EV mascot. And then race them at the end to see who has the fastest EV McWheelie. So those are some fun events. If you know of any events throughout the year, please let us know. We're happy to do outreach. Our EV coach, his name is Parker, but there's a picture of him in the program update. He's our new EV coach, and he is a resource for the community, for businesses, for all of our partner agencies. If you have any questions, please reach out. His email is in the packet, and he can help let you know about incentives, rebates, anything you need to know. We also have a Drive Clean newsletter. The link to sign up to that newsletter is in your program package. We have a transportation electrification webpage that's on our VCREA website. And then our grants. So we have proposed grant, or we've been recommended for some grant awards, and we're working on finalizing all the details with those two grants. One is from the California Energy Commission. And if you haven't had enough acronyms, we're going to have some more acronyms now. We applied in partnership with UCSB, counties of Ventura, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, SLO APCD, City of Ventura, City of Santa Barbara, and Teresi Wren. And we've been recommended for funding. The grant will go to the Energy Commission in April, and that's to install 225 charging stations at 67 multifamily housing sites throughout the three counties. And 17 of those multifamily housing sites are in Ventura County. And Logan was very helpful. She's in the audience, worked for the City of Ventura and identifying some of those sites. The REACH grant for our equitable charging access for renters in the 805 region are the ECAR project, also includes, sorry, another acronym to shorten it. And that also includes funding for extending the EV coach services for outreach to multifamily housing residents and property owners and managers to let them know about the benefits of electric vehicles and charging infrastructure. Our next recommended grant is a big one. There's a picture of our ribbon, presentation ceremony. And that's the Charging and Fueling Infrastructure Grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation. That's a $12 million grant award. It has a $3 million match, mostly through SCE infrastructure improvements. And so that's a big $15 million five-year project. And that is to put EV charging centers paired with solar battery storage at East County, West County, so Government Center and City of Thousand Oaks Transit Center. And we have for resiliency efforts, especially in places where it's hard to put charging stations or for remote areas where they just don't have the infrastructure. They have 11 off-grid charging stations that have solar and battery backup, and they're portable. I mean, Victor and I can't go out and move them. You have to have a big truck move them, but these charging stations can be moved if there's an emergency. But mainly the benefits is when it's hard to put in infrastructure, like the conduit doesn't have the grid network out there. The project also includes a lot of fast chargers, level 2 charging stations, e-bike charging, which is, you know, lots of people have e-bikes. And if you're out and about, there's nowhere to charge them if your bike dies. So we have, I think, a total of 5 e-bike charging structures that are included in this grant. I think one will go in Oxnard, a couple will go in Thousand Oaks, and a couple will go around Ventura. Workforce development is included, as well as just a bunch of outreach to all of our communities, with a special emphasis on our historically marginalized communities.
When you say workforce development programs, I mean, are you working with like the college and the high schools? Because
yes, so part of so we'll be meeting with actually representatives from Community College District next Tuesday to discuss workforce development outreach. And it's basically for people working on electric vehicles as well as charging stations. Right now, to install a charging station, you need a certification, and we do have a scholarship program to get that certification if you're an electrician. But maintenance is a big issue. And so we're working with some partners to hopefully propose a certification course. It's about 6 weeks for people to be certified to do maintenance on charging stations, as well as each charging station manufacturer has their own training. And so all of that, as well as just working on electric vehicles, we need more workforce for that. So we're meeting with the community college districts, and part of that presentation to that I was mentioning, working with the high school, Ventura High School, is to their automotive mechanics class is to also talk about workforce development opportunities. And then we work with 3C Ren because they have their huge workforce development program. And yeah, so we're trying to get people certified to work on EVs and charging stations.
So beyond the grant, which is really excellent news for everyone, are there other transportation initiatives that also cover e-bikes or e-bike chargers? A lot of this was around cars.
Right now, there's not any like funding source we have right now, but we're looking at including some stuff in this climate pollution reduction grant implementation application.
Definitely a mouthful.
We're looking at kind of alternative transportation hubs, which would have maybe some e-bike opportunities, also charting for e-bikes, just
given the EV cars, which we're all in favor of transitioning toward, they are expensive big ticket items. This is a much less expensive way to get electrified.
Right. And then part of this, again, it includes funding to extend that EV coach services for another 5 years. And I mentioned, so some of the stuff that's included in the grant that's not very exciting, but it's looking at pedestrian safety at like bus stops and bike lanes and stuff like that. So that's an aspect of the grant, and getting people just like outreach opportunities. We've had the EV ride and drive events, but we also had an e-bike event. So getting people to ride EV, I fell off our e-bike.
That wasn't exactly what I was thinking.
I mean, fun to e-bike is to get people comfortable on e-bikes and stuff. So yeah, everyone else did way better than I did. That's a trouble turning. But yeah, so it's just to get outreach too, so people learn about e-bikes, rebates and incentives for e-bikes. And so if you have any ideas, please share them, because we have that EV coach service that is a big outreach component. I think this grant includes $750,000 for outreach over a 5-year period.
I have a couple of questions on the more rural community off the grid charging. And that is, how is that meshing with the incentive programs for farm workers and those, to buy, be able to afford electric vehicles? So is there a sort of collaboration going on there? Because if you're putting charging stations out in rural communities, just thinking where across the county where you see lines ups of cars, where the farm workers are out there for the day. So that's question number one. Then second is, am I right that the county did adopt H-2A housing to be able to be built on land, like on farming land? So my goal with that is that there's lots, my husband owns a farm worker housing building actually in Fillmore. And so in the morning, there's, 10 vans lined up, they go across the county, farm workers go out, but then those vans come back and then they don't go out again until they bring it back. So just wondering how maybe the housing for farm workers and all that could work with vans, commuting, that sort of thing.
So a couple of things. We try to make connections to things. So yesterday we were having a meeting with the BCTC to talk about the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Implementation Application. And, we're talking about Cal vans, and they were looking, they have a proposal or getting...
I believe funding. They had approved funding to purchase some electric vans for farm workers. And so they did mention that there was not charging included in that. So that would be an element that we could potentially bring into, that connection there to install that charging in those areas where those vans are being stored or with those families where they're at.
And then part of the EV coach service or scope of work is to also look at other grant sources to fill in the gaps.
Sure.
And so also a lot of times with conversations with all of our partners and community members, for example, with our REACH grant for the charting stations and multifamily housing, there's a couple of sites that aren't going to work for a couple of different reasons. And so we have funding for additional charging stations, but we might not have a place to put them. So in our conversation with BCTC yesterday, they were talking about Calvans. We're like, oh, if it's certain sites meet a criteria, we have charging stations and we can install at those sites. So like I said, a lot of this information we get is crowdsourced or just from our partnerships. So it's kind of cool that we have so many partners that we get to interact with.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? General updates and announcements.
We don't have any more updates on our end.
Yeah,
plenty
of
folks.
Now we're going to do future agendas. Anybody have anything they'd like on a future agenda? Okay, as we're making this new part, I mean, then we're at number 18, we're at adjournment. So we're going to adjourn the meeting at 36. We need this.
I'll send out appointments for the future meetings now that they're approved. Yeah.
Well, you've got to be seeing the mail. Fast. I believe we're going to get everything on email where we're going to be. I'll be back in there, right?
I believe we'll be across the way and by the cafeteria where we've been before. And we'll determine if the next meeting will be an actual board meeting or if we'll do an energy champion meeting instead of it. I'm thinking more of the energy champion meeting, but we'll let you know.
What if we get grant money?
Yeah, my apologies to the crew for the various email invites that might have come to you from me. I don't know what was going on. Maybe hopefully it's been corrected and or I won't do what I did unknowingly.
If it's a previous invite and you're typing in, say DCREA, it comes up.